From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 162 with guest Alex Payne, recorded Monday, May 17th, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. Everybody, how's it going today?
Things are well, my friend. Just been plunking along here. New week, new show, new ideas.
Yeah. All kinds of cool stuff going on in the industry these days. Plenty to talk about.
Yeah, I've actually been looking at languages more than anything, but I won't go into that right now. Let's jump straight into the show. I have Alex Payne with us today. He's the Director of Product Management working in the online group at Microsoft. Alex and his team have the responsibility for the product and marketing strategy for Microsoft's productivity solutions with a specific focus on cloud computing, including deep analysis on market trends and how it affects customers and partners. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Thank you, guys. Glad to be here.
Microsoft's always had an online presence, well, since we figured out that the internet was important, and that's become, I guess, the live products. But cloud, Azure, is what we're really talking about. That's relatively a newcomer to the online presence for Microsoft.
Well, yeah. I mean, Microsoft got a long history in cloud computing. If you talk about some of the things like you were mentioning, like the live products, you know, Hotmail, over 369 million users. We talked a lot a couple years ago at PDC talking about Azure. And then the online services, which is the group I'm in, we're responsible for things like Exchange Online, SharePoint Online. And with the recent launch, I guess it was last week, the business launch of Office 2010, we're also talking about how we're taking Office productivity solutions into the cloud as well.
Right.
Yeah, but and I guess we're cloud's a new term, but this technology's been around quite a while. We're just sort of gathering it under a new name. You know, I remember Ray Ozzie's presentation from PDC where he talked about the fact that the live site and the MSN, and there was all these major Microsoft properties that were duplicating infrastructure, and that part of his vision around cloud was, why don't we use a common infrastructure for all those things? Is that starting to happen yet, or is that still too early?
Well, there's a little bit of a clarification. We are firmly in the camp of trying to make sure we're using as much common infrastructure as possible. And so the vision long-term, and we're not there yet, but the vision long-term is that things like Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, et cetera, run on top of Azure.
Right.
But I want to make sure that we clarify one thing, which is that we are not trying to necessarily combine what we have as a consumer-based service with our more organizational or enterprise-class services. So, for example, I'll just give probably the simplest one to drive a point. Windows Live Hotmail.
Right.
Email solution for consumers. Exchange Online, email solution for enterprises and organizations,
right,
and business and governments. We're not trying to combine those two because we think they serve two very distinct and different needs.
And I guess I'm really putting my IT hat on and saying, is the underlying infrastructure common, even though the front end is utterly different?
Well, we're going to have two separate infrastructures for email, for example. But what that means for IT is that, you know, when I think of IT, well, I think of things like, hey, I want to be able to do bulk provisioning.
Right.
I want to be able to integrate with my identity management type solutions. And so I also think about things like data centers and, I already mentioned identity management, but identity management over a long-term basis. Those are the kinds of things that IT wants. We're going to build those IT capabilities in the online solution. When I think about the consumer, there is no IT, or I should say the consumer is the person who's probably going out and using the email solution. So we're not going to build those kinds of solutions or capabilities into the live service.
Yeah, not a lot of need for federation at the live level.
That's true. Actually, I mean, when you think about it, that's one of the things we differ when we think about bringing solutions to market versus Google, Google Apps specifically. I mean, they have Gmail, which mm-hmm. is for consumers, and then they try to take the Gmail into the enterprise. And we just think that's fundamentally a wrong approach to delivering solutions, because you end up serving no one if you try to serve everyone. We are trying to provide IT type capabilities for IT to run email solutions. And that's what Exchange Online, for example, is all about.
Do you think about this in terms of cloud, or do you think about it in different terms? Is this about shared services? Because I know the services you offer for Exchange, for example, an enterprise could buy dedicated services but hosted in your data center, or there's the shared services model. Then there's other models, that some of which seem to be cloud focused and others are maybe just more of an outsourced kind of story. But how do you think about that?
That's a great question. Let me maybe provide some color around that topic. So let's start with Exchange, because I think that's probably the a simple one to kind of for people to grasp, for IT to grasp. When we set out to build Exchange 2010, we set out to build a product that was, think capabilities for enterprises, email that stands up to what enterprises look for and has the kinds of IT support that your listeners strive for. So for example, things like PowerShell, scripting of services, to think about security and privacy and archiving and all the things that we build into the product. Now, after we build the product here in Redmond, then you think about how it's going to be delivered. And we give customers some flexibility here in what the options are available to them. You have the standard model, which is you buy Exchange, you run it in your data centers, you run it in on premises in your world, if that's what your organization desires. You also have the option where there could be partners of ours that host Exchange on your behalf, and maybe they even add additional value-add services. So, for example, I was talking to a service provider or a hoster in New Zealand recently where they add some industry-specific solutions, integration with applications, et cetera, on top, but they host it in their data centers. Then you have the option where we have what we call BPOS or Microsoft Online, where we host it for you. And with Exchange being built from day one, Exchange 2010, to run in a multi-tenant environment, we can run it in our data centers for a very low cost and then provide those cost savings back to the customers in the terms of they don't have to buy hardware, they don't have to provision hardware, they don't have to patch software, for example. We can do that on their behalf. And so you get these different modalities of delivery, but it all starts with trying to build an enterprise-class email solution regardless of how you're ultimately going to consume it.
Now, is the distinction here purely federation? What are the other features that enterprises are demanding that other third-party email systems may not have?
Yeah. So when I think about Exchange, I mean, I think about everything from unified messaging, the ability to integrate with other solutions like our UC solutions. You know, for example, I'm dialing into this call from Communicator, but I started right from Outlook, the calendar invite. And so I went from an email solution type experience to a UC solution. And then also thinking about things like migration tools. We already talked about integrating with identity management, taking advantage of, your data center disk purchases. And so there's a lot of things that are very, I don't want to overstress the term, enterprise needs. But when you think about a company the size of Microsoft, 90,000 some employees, we actually are one of the largest BPOS customers in itself, because we run Exchange for our employees through an online environment. And one of the things that a lot of the customers, in this case, Microsoft employees, truly look for is true Outlook integration. And what I mean by that is, just as an example, and this is something that drives a cost down for a lot of, or headaches, I should say, for a lot of IT pros out there, is when I install Outlook, the first thing I do when I open Outlook for the first time is it asks me for my username and password, and it goes out and finds my Exchange server,
right?
That auto discovery type capability. That's something else that's also, if you will, an enterprise class feature. So again, that's very different experience to how you might consume a consumer-based email service, be it Hotmail or Yahoo or Gmail, et cetera.
Now, just as an aside on this, does it ever make sense for an organization the size of Microsoft to do this in the cloud? I've always had a sense that once you get to a certain size, running the infrastructure yourself makes sense. You have the dedicated people. You can afford it, essentially. There's a certain scale where you have the people and talent in place that it makes sense to run your own infrastructure. You effectively are the cloud operator.
I've seen some numbers lately that indicate that that's not always that's what I assumed as well. But I'll be curious to hear what you have to say, because I've seen some numbers that came back that surprised me when it came to savings.
Can you expand a little more on that? What you mean by that, Greg?
Well, I mean, just looking at the difference between hosting a large exchange infrastructure, you know, like in-house versus hosting it with Microsoft or another provider, that the potential was there. And I don't know exactly what would cause it to be that way, but the potential was there to, from an operational standpoint, to save quite a bit of money, you know, year over year by leveraging, you know, Microsoft data center.
Got it. Exactly. I mean, I think probably one of the key solutions or key scenarios to understand is that it really depends on where the customer is coming from. When they have to have a very personal, in the sense that they have to think about what's their environment. What are they currently running on today? Are they running on something like Exchange 2003 on premises, or are they running on a Lotus Notes implementation? You know, over 70% of the seats that are running on BPOS today are actually solutions that migrated off of some other competing scenario, be it Google Apps, be it Lotus Notes. So you have to understand where the customer's coming from. You also have to understand, are there particular requirements for a particular industry, for example? Think about, pharmaceutical industry. You know, are there particular security and privacy type requirements? That might have an impact on the total cost savings, because that is essentially the primary reason with which people go, why they go look at an online solution, is they look at the promise of where there can be cost savings, because they think about it and they say, hey, you know, maybe we're a manufacturer, or we're a mining company. Our core competency, even though we're a very large corporation, may not be in maintaining mail. Maybe the company that builds the email solution, Exchange, might be better able to maintain it. Also, they may be able to amortize it, the cost of data centers, over a much larger number. So they see the promise of it, and in many cases, it absolutely is there. But maybe there are security or privacy or just particular issues based on where they're coming from that would impact it, say, you know what, it is or it isn't more cost effective to move to the cloud. The beauty here, I think, is that from a Microsoft perspective, we hope to give a great solution that integrates with Office, that integrates with the rest of your infrastructure, be it Active Directory or line of business systems, regardless of which mode you choose. But we do think that the cloud will provide a huge cost savings for a great majority of people.
So let's talk about the security and privacy side of things. Where do you see people making decisions, and what's the real solid story when it comes to, you know, things like, you know, some of those key compliance, whether it's HIPAA, you know, or pharmaceutical related stuff, or online financial services, those sorts of things. What are the decisions people are making, and how and why do they make sense?
Yeah. Kind of like the last question, there's a little bit of a, it depends on where you're coming from, of an answer, but let me just comment on a couple themes. I mean, I think one of the things that pop up is just, companies think about who do they want to trust. And they, quite honestly, I think the Microsoft's got a pretty strong track record of being in the enterprise space for, you know, over 25 years. When you think about productivity with Office and, was we started to bring products like Exchange and SQL Server to market. So I think there's a track record of trust with Microsoft compared to some of the other cloud computing solutions out there. I think that's one kind of meta issue that people think about. Then I think there are a couple other issues that come up around, okay, one of the obvious one is, where is my data going to be located? What are the certifications of your data centers? How do you ensure security of both the physical location as well as the data itself? And this is an area where Microsoft, I think, is a little bit on the forefront, in which that we tell you where your data is going to be. Now, we have discussed where our data centers are around the world. We have data centers in Asia, in Europe, and in North America. We tell you that we're going to basically host you in this area, and that we're, because of geo redundancy, we're going to have you backed up in other data centers inside of that region. Contrast that to a Google Apps, which basically says they won't tell you where your data is. That is something that customers look for. I think there's also a desire for organizations, as they're thinking about moving to the cloud, wanting to understand, well, what are your standards? You know, BPOS, you know, Microsoft Online, you know, we've got ISO 27001 certifications. We're SAS 70 right. Type 1 and 2. You know, there are other federal regulations, et cetera. And so I think it's more from a, let's look at the history or the vision of where the company is at a high level. And I think Microsoft's got a great track record there. There's data center location, there's standards. And then I think also one that comes up a lot with regards to, you know, maybe Google Apps, for example, is it comes down to what is the company that's providing the service, what do they stand for, or what are they, what's their goal? And I think that's where Microsoft, we firmly believe we are about making customers more productive. We strive to drive great productivity solutions. Google, in its sense, if you look at 98% of their revenues come from search advertising, sometimes there's a question of, are they in it to serve you on a productivity basis, or are they in it to make their search algorithms stronger and drive more search revenue? That conversation, I know it sounds like I may be, you know, kind of diminishing the competition. That's a real conversation that we have with customers that come and look to us for Microsoft Online solutions. So I think it's very germane.
Yeah, most of the folks that I talk to that get into dealing with stuff like HIPAA compliance and SOX and so forth, the answer seems, they seem to just back off, that the answer is, okay, go run that yourself. So are you feeling like Microsoft's now actually tackling these harder ones where the security is very significant, where the location is very key, and you're actually able to win those customers?
I kind of go back to some of the comments I made before when you talk about the fact that I think it was 16 of the top 20 global pharmaceutical companies are currently running Microsoft Online services. You know, these are household names, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, GlaxoSmithKline. We talked about some of these already. I mean, yes, we get into those standards conversations and security conversations and privacy conversations. And what we do is we walk them through how we are approaching this. And I think ultimately those customers are voting with their feet by moving to BPOS, saying, yeah, you guys actually are thinking hard about this.
Now, let's throw the Office side of things in, because obviously this is a new offering, but I feel like you're amping it up a level. People seem to be able to tolerate email being remote because it's already on the internet. But you're also talking about my spreadsheets now.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, let me step back for a moment and maybe not think about it by, you know, capability, messaging or email or productivity. I mean, when you think of what we're trying to do, we're trying to give you the best productivity experience across the PC, the phone, and the browser. Email is a canonical example everyone uses. Heck, I used to use it when I would try to explain what we mean by PC, phone, and browser, which is you're on a rich client, you're in the web, you're on your phone, you should be able to do email, if you will. We also see the same kind of desire around productivity solutions where people say, hey, I like the fact that I can write a 17-page contract in Word and all the solutions with watermarking and headers and footers and styles and you name it that I can bring to that document. But I also have a scenario where I'm traveling and I'm at my mother-in-law's house and I need to comment on a contract, or I need to go strike one line and make a change. I may not want to have to fire up my laptop or, you know, download the document onto my mother-in-law's PC. I might just want to make a simple change in the browser, or maybe collaborate on a document while live, like Excel, while we're in the browser. And then similarly, maybe I'm getting back on the plane to fly back to Redmond and I want to go review to see where the changes are, and doing that from my phone while sitting on the tarmac waiting for the plane to take off, provided I'm not violating any FAA rules. And we see customers desiring that. And so when we think about what we're doing with Office 2010, that's one of the key scenarios. There's a lot more we're doing in Office besides just bringing the web apps and bringing Outlook 2010 to the mobile devices. But that is a very, very large piece of what we're doing and what we brought to market last week with the business launch.
I just feel like we've done this before, but we tried to do it in the late 90s during the dot-com boom, and people weren't willing to have their data stored outside of their enterprise. I'm just trying to figure out what's changed.
Well, you know, I don't know if anything – well, yes, things have changed. I don't know the magnitude to what they've changed. I think that depends on the individual organization, the industry, the work style, the age, you name it. But again, this is an area where we're taking a different approach with what we're doing in Office specifically is we're saying, hey, you don't want to host your data up in a public cloud, or you don't want to host your spreadsheets outside your firewall. No problem. One of the things we're doing with the Office web apps is we're making it available for companies to run in their own data centers on top of SharePoint. So again, just to replay that, you can have that same experience I just described before where you're working on that contract or that spreadsheet. But the web apps are actually running in your data centers. You're not hosting them outside in a public data center, for example. Now, however, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. We're also making the web apps available through Windows Live SkyDrive. So if you want to go view them through with just a Windows Live ID, you know, 400 million plus users using Windows Live today, they'll have access to the web apps through Windows Live SkyDrive. And then, of course, we've been talking a lot about Microsoft Online, you know, the more organizational or enterprise solution. We will run the web apps for you through Microsoft Online as well. So again, you have three ways with which you can use them in the cloud: your private cloud running in your data center, up in our cloud, but our business cloud through online or through Windows Live. And then you, the end user, or you, the organization, gets to make the decision on what your comfort level is with those different experiences.
All right. I'm really not having a whole lot of problem with this because it all seems to hold together fairly well. And you get back to the real thing here, which is people are losing interest in the risk of data loss and so forth. So like running that infrastructure themselves is less and less interesting. It just seems to work. Although, are you seeing much in the way of hybrid offerings? I mean, you've sort of alluded to this already, that I can run some docs internally and then punch them out on a SkyDrive and so forth. But when I think in the more IT infrastructure level of this, actually, Exchange offers this as well, right? I can have the Edge servers running on the Exchange online offering, but my mailboxes are internal.
I don't know specifically to that scenario for Exchange where it's, the edge servers are in one area and the mailbox servers are in another. But we do have a couple customers that run in hybrid environments, and I can explain a little bit how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. Basically, when you think of a customer, and I don't know if I can actually use the name, but large manufacturers that ship lots of products that are running in Microsoft Online today, they are basically running the corp side in-house in their data centers, et cetera. But for some of the truck drivers, they're actually using a hosted email solution running through Microsoft Online. So you get that hybrid environment where parts of the organization are taking advantage of full on-prem. Others need a cheaper, a little more flexible solution, maybe not needing all the integration with all the other workflow systems, et cetera. There's also a very large retailer that's doing the same, a very similar thing with regards to making the store managers. They run in the online environment, but then again, folks back in Corp, they've been running Exchange, or in this case, SharePoint, on premises for quite some time, and now they have a more agile, more flexible solution. And one of the key things that drives value to IT, again, I'm thinking about who your listeners are. It's really about a consistent management experience. They've got Active Directory running in the middle, so they can federate identities into the cloud or through the on-premises solution. And that is another area where they drive more capabilities to the organization, maybe save some costs, but also drive down management support as well. And you can get that experience where you can use a user back and forth. So, for example, that retailer I was talking about, If you've got a store manager, and then a store manager moves into a new role, maybe the regional manager or take a job back in corporate, you can move them across the scenarios because you're using the same infrastructure to manage and have identity management.
Well, and I got to think for an IT person, that's the main thing is you're either a member of this domain or you're not. And if you're not, then you're sort of out of my control.
Yeah, I think that's a key component. I think also it's the capabilities that exist in the service when you move to both cloud and on-prem solutions. So let me give you an example. We had a customer, Vinci Corporation. They're a construction firm based in the UK and France. They had actually moved to Google Apps because they were looking for an email solution in the cloud. What they found was actually as they started to scale out to the numbers of users, and then also there was an acquisition and they were trying to think how they were going to almost triple the size of the user base, they started to think about things like, well, how do I do group policies? How do I manage at the group level versus at the individual? And those kinds of things are what drove them to move back to Exchange versus running in the Google Apps experience, because it's not just a hybrid environment. It's just core functionality that I look for in an IT experience that isn't there with some competing solutions.
And, you know, and you mentioned Google Apps. So getting beyond email and even the sort of office productivity environment, are we offering a decent model here for building custom applications, custom form entries, those kinds of things that falls into the same online experience? Is that ultimately what Azure is about?
Ultimately, yes. And it's Azure. It's also Exchange Online, SharePoint Online.
Right.
So, for example, today, obviously, you know, you can build apps running in Azure. We're trying to strive a lot for the existing development environments, Visual Studio, et cetera, that you build on-prem or you, build in the cloud. The ideal situation is essentially when you hit F5 to deploy, hopefully you've just chosen it's a server or it's a service. That absolutely is the goal of what we're going for there. When you think about online, you think about the fact that we're enabling Exchange Web Services, so you can call the web services if you're running Exchange Online. The customization or the ability to run additional types of code isn't necessarily there today in Exchange Online and SharePoint Online, but as we roll out the new version of Exchange 2010, SharePoint 2010, that ability to build custom apps, even deeper integration, gets better. That is the design goal, is that the way we've talked about it before is every one of our products in some fashion will become cloud enabled over time. That's the big statement for Microsoft. We are not there for all of our products today, but we're quickly getting there. And the 2010 wave is going to help us a lot to bring some of those customization or application, the ability to build applications in the wave 2010 experience.
Yeah, and there's an interesting bounce back and forth here versus the products that Microsoft offers directly that are the apps that both live internally or on the customer's workstation and out into the web versus what can be built in-house. In some ways, I feel like the SharePoint offering is better, especially when I look at Studio 2010. And I'm sorry if I keep flipping between my IT hat and my dev hat here, but in 2010, the fact that now it seems like Silverlight is something we can use reliably inside of SharePoint, to me, as an IT person, significantly lowers the threat of custom development in my infrastructure, that Silverlight seems to offer a very nice can that they can build stuff in that won't break other stuff.
It just goes back to one of the meta points, which is that we're a productivity company, we're a platforms company, we've got a long experience in the enterprise, we're a developer company building tools and platforms with which people to build great solutions. Oh, by the way, all that stuff integrates as well. So I can build a custom app that integrates with my productivity solution. When we think about the cloud essentially is the future for Microsoft. You know, I didn't mention it up front, but I should have in the fact that you think about 70% of the developers at Microsoft right now in some form or fashion are working with the cloud. We think over the next year, that number goes north of 90%.
Right.
And so the cloud is a model with which we are betting the company on. And so be it Silverlight, be it HTML5 and IE9 browser support, be it what we're doing with SharePoint on both on premises and online, those are the kinds of scenarios that we think we're just thinking about more deeply and more thoughtfully than anybody in the market.
Yeah, it's an interesting balancing act between these two things. And of course, Microsoft seems to be having this dichotomy going on between what's enterprise and what is consumer as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we firmly, let me step back a moment. We had this model in our head of like a chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. And the interesting thing is that when I talk about these chapters, it's not that chapter one ends and then we move to chapter two. It's that we think about how we go in new areas of the company. Chapter one was about, quite honestly, the desktop. It was Windows. It was DOS. It was the first versions of Word.
Yeah.
Then you start to think about that was a very successful franchise for the company, and we're still continuing to invest. And I think we're still being very innovative in what we're doing. I just look to some of the things we've done with Office 2010, Windows 7, some of the things you're hearing about with like Windows Phone 7, where that's an area where we still feel really good about and delivering value to customers and consumers. Windows Live is where we're taking that to the cloud. Then I think about chapter two is when Microsoft said, hey, we're going to go for the enterprise. And I think about the server products, SQL Server, you know, Exchange Server, BizTalk, SharePoint. That was another very successful franchise at Microsoft, now the server and tools business. The cloud represents chapter three. We're not getting rid of chapter one. We're not ignoring chapter two. We're essentially thinking about how we use those to enable more scenarios. And I think you got to have a company that's got the intestinal fortitude of Microsoft to really be successful. You got to be willing to invest. You got to be willing to bet the farm. And when I look at, you know, a couple of years ago, someone said, I don't believe Microsoft is serious about the cloud until you talk about Windows and you talk about Office in the cloud.
Right.
Well, Windows Azure is now commercially available. Office 2010 has now been released to market. Customers that have VL licenses can download the Office web apps today. And so we're completely in for the cloud to kind of steal on the we're all in tagline.
Well, and I found over and over again in my work with Microsoft that your products get dramatically better when you use them.
Yeah, I talked about the fact that, you know, one of the largest Microsoft Online customers right now is Microsoft.
Yes.
All 90,000 plus people are that when they go use email, they are using Microsoft Online, Exchange Online. And what that's great is that that also helps us harden the software for our customers. It helps us harden the data centers, the operations for additional customers. It helps us harden the management tools, the IT tools that IT needs. When an IT pro is sitting out there listening to this podcast and they're thinking about, boy, how am I going to migrate my Exchange 2003 or 2007 experience to the cloud? One of the best things I can tell them is, guess what? The migration tools that we're working on, those are how we migrated Microsoft employees, all 90,000 plus, into the cloud. So, you know, I won't belabor the we eat our own dog food stories. We've all heard many of those. But that's firmly something we're doing with our cloud solutions as well.
Alex, I think we're just about out of time. Any final call outs we should make? Places people should be looking for more info on the online products?
Yeah, absolutely. There's two I want to call out. The first one is just going to Microsoft.com/online, going to learn about Exchange Online, SharePoint Online. You know, there's a whole series of products, the productivity solutions that are now available online. There are tons of webcasts, very IT-centric webcasts, things you might not expect, how to set up your iPhone and Android phone with Exchange Online, as well as some of the IT group policy types of solutions I talked about earlier. Additionally, we also have a website, very simple one, www.whymicrosoft.com, which is where an IT pro can go get information on how our solutions differ from the competition. We talked a little bit about Google Apps to this conversation. You can go to whymicrosoft.com/Google, and we'll walk through in data sheets and videos and in podcasts specifically how IT pros experiences differ by using, say, Google Apps versus Microsoft Online. So those are two great resources for your listeners to go take a look at.
Alex Payne, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for the time.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.